here. At the NAMA Boot Camp, I am visiting with a couple of our panelists here. We've got one on, it's called Generations. It's basically a couple of individuals talking about the family farm experience, and we're just going to have a little conversation here. First of all, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself, and I'll start here with you, Ken.
I'm Ken McCauley. I farm in White Cloud, Kansas, in the northeast corner. My wife and I and our son Brad, who's here with me today, but I farmed for almost 40 years now, or probably more than 40 when you go back to high school, and past president of the National Corn Growers Association, and enjoy the relationship we've had with a lot of the media, mm-hmm. like we are here today.
Well, and Brad, you got introduced there, but just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
I've been farming almost 10 years, right at 10 years. I graduated from Kansas State University in 2001 and came back and joined the family farm then, right out of college. And as Dad mentioned, when he got really busy with the corn growers, mm-hmm. it kind of forced me to really step up and do more, take on more responsibilities, and really pushed me a little harder to get more involved.
Well, I think these agri-marketers here want to just hear a little bit about sort of life on the family farm, some of the challenges that you face today, and also some of the rewards that you have for having that type of a family connection in your own business, farming. What are some of the things you might want to share along those lines?
Well, I think as far as since Brad's come out of college, well, really even before that, Mary and I had really done everything we could do because we could see a future there as far as expansion. And that's paid for both of us. The size of our farm today is large enough that we can both not have to expand so much to make room for Brad, and it's actually given him, I think, some future to, you know, to look forward to without, you know, overextending himself mm-hmm. at the time right now when you're not sure whether you should be or not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking at that and then going to our position today where we're looking to slow down and he's trying to expand, I think that's part of why we're here, talk about that, mm-hmm. because you talk to a lot of families that, you know, how do we do this? What do we do? And, you know, I've always taken the position, just do something and hope it's not drastically wrong. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
So, Brad, was this something that you've long wanted to do? I mean, even before actively really getting involved?
Yeah, I was involved all through high school. And it's one thing Mom and Dad let my sister and I both get involved in all throughout high school and continued it on. It's just a matter of having them there beside us the whole way to let us expand or to get a start, because if you don't have that outlet with the family, with our family specifically, it's really, really difficult to get started and grow.
Well, you know, in today's society, especially so many that are removed from the farm, there's not a lot of people that really work together, family-type operations. I mean, there certainly are some, but farming does still have some of that uniqueness. What are some of the kind of challenges for that? Like for you, Brad, is there anything that you found as you got more involved, especially coming out of school, that make it sort of challenging to work with Mom and Dad, for example?
Oh, it's challenging, and it changes, you know, not necessarily day to day, but year to year it has, because I've stepped in to do more and with a few more employees, but it's just a matter of finding the balance and I guess learning from each other. That's one thing we've done a lot better at recently is, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one thing that we'll always go back to. The main thing of a family operation is there's a lot of things I can, you know, turn to Dad or even my uncles and for questions, and that's one thing that a lot of businesses don't have, that tight relationship to be able to do that.
Well, I know that Ken's got an iPhone and an iPad. Did he show you how to use them, or did you show him how to use them?
He bought me my iPad, so yeah, he's a good teacher for that.
Sometimes some of us old dogs can learn new tricks, right?
Yeah, that's right, Chuck. It's I think, you know, this is part of my talk. I did it last year too. The technology, some farmers my age don't want to accept it, and they view it as intimidating, but it's a huge asset for us. We use it a lot. We text a lot. I think it's just going to improve everything and be more integrated into our lives all along. A lot of those things we read about in high school, mm-hmm. 1984, and all those things are coming true, but I think we're finding ways to utilize them instead of be scared of them. Yeah.
Do you, how about when it comes to social media? I know you're actively involved online, socially, social networking. How would you comment about that in terms of what value does that have to you? What have you found that has it made it worth it? And do you have other friends and farmers who are actively involved? Because that's a big topic of discussion here still.
Well, I'm involved. I've got like 280 friends, and I'm to the point, kind of like Warren Buffett, when you know you can't have a new friend unless you get rid of one. And I think that's probably an important part of it. I don't get actively engaged in a lot of debates. I use it more as a one-way, here's what we're doing today, if I do that at all. But I really enjoy, like Susan Littlefield does the markets, and Tom Brand used to do them in the mornings. You'd have a 5 or 5:30 a.m. View. Not that you needed that, but you get the weather and different idea of what's going on in the country, and I think that's going to only get improve on that and really figure out better ways to use it. I think Brad's going to use it a lot more with landlords, and instead of a newsletter, he'll have an update. And I think that's a really good way to look at that as far as keeping people informed.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to a conference next week where farmers will be learning how to use social media to advocate, as we call it, to be an advocate on behalf of agriculture. For you, Brad, what do you think about that as we see more and more of our population becoming further and further removed from the farm?
Yeah, the more info, the more correct information that we can do to get out in every bit of the public is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has tried to keep up a Facebook page or a media page through harvest, through planting, mm-hmm. through the important seasons for landlords to so they can see what we're doing, like day to day, more so our busier times. But it's very important to do all we can, and it's hard to do that. It's hard to get, especially people, growers my age that are kind of busy, and especially in busy times, to take the time to be advocates to do that.
Well, let's just touch base on this corn crop. You guys are in Kansas. You know, we've certainly seen it seems like every year weather's been wacky and crazy here and there, and some places not so much. But how would you describe things in your area? How are things looking in terms of your crop, or at least in your territory?
Our crop looks very good. We had some major wind come through Father's Day weekend and had a lot of green snap in a certain area. Other than that, we had a couple, 3 weeks of really, really dry, and then it turned off to where we got quite a bit of rain, and we're continuing to get a lot of rain, and it's really cooled off. Things look very good.
So how about as you look ahead, you know, it's not that long, we'll be harvesting. What's your kind of your outlook as far as the way things are going for this this segment of the industry right now?
I think we have potential to have really good yields. I won't give you any numbers.
All right, that's fine.
I'm still optimistic about we could have some really good yields, but yet I know we had some problems during the heat of the growing season, and I think that's going to step us back. But pairing that, what we think is going to make, and you know, having a right marketing plan in place, and it's just, I think we're in a good place, but hopefully the markets continue to stay strong.
Well, and Ken, I know you've been so involved leadership-wise in organizations like that and CGA. Just maybe a comment on, you know, we've seen politically we're going to be facing a lot of things with new farm bill. There's been so much talk about budget and focus even on things like ethanol and how that's playing out. I mean, you know, how would you describe the current political climate, if you will, from a corn grower perspective? I mean, do you have worry about what's happening with ethanol and things like the tax credit and even the RFS that they're talking about trying to mess with?
I think that we've got a lot of things to fear, but I'm not sure that, you know, we need to you know, go hide from it. Mm-hmm. We've sure got to get vocal and talk about things. I think one of the big fears that I have, and I think most people should have, is this the anti-mandate mood that's coming from basically the Republicans. And, you know, I'm for mandates, except against mandates, except that we've got ethanol basically running free flow through the system today through the RFS. And I don't think we should be messing with the renewable fuel standard. I really think that if something does happen, it will be pared back some, and maybe some waiver talk of you know, if corn prices get too high. It's got that in the energy bill today, but some people don't think it's enough. But, you know, the total anti-mandate of ethanol would be a disaster. We would have probably 3 or 4 billion bushels of corn laying around, and I don't think that'll happen. Mm-hmm. But if we happen to all of a sudden go from a 5% stocks-to-use ratio to 15 or 20, we would have a giant mess on our hands. And that's one of the fears I have with the wrong marketing plan, if you really get down to it. So, you know, we've got a farm bill that needs to be rewritten without any money. And I was involved in the last farm bill, and I think that the message that every organization needs to have today, talking about the farm bill, is let's keep crop insurance intact like it is, or very close to what it is. That's the biggest issue, biggest protection of risk management that we have within the government today. And if we can have something similar to that stays through, that will keep us from all being broke by the time we hit the loan rate or the countercyclical payment.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys have another interview to go to before your presentation this afternoon, but I always like to throw out any other thoughts you might offer to agri-marketers, especially who couldn't be here, in terms of things that you might want them to know about family farming today, and you know, that might be helpful for them is providing them some insights for what are some of the best marketing practices, channels in terms of reaching you.
Well, I'll hit on the older guys part of this and be pretty brief. I think really appreciate them inviting Brad and I together. I think that the young perspective is really important because that age group of farmers are the ones that are making the decisions. Mm-hmm. Guys like me are given some advice and, you know, watch this, don't do that, whatever. But I really appreciate the fact that Brad has included me in some of those decisions, even though I still feel like I'm making them. I think it's a consultant type view right now from my point of view. So as far as the young people here in the boot camp, Listen to the young people. They're the ones that are really going to be, you know, sticking their neck out to make that purchase and view the ads and how things look to them.
How about with you, Brad? Are you paying your consultant well? I just want to make sure Ken's taken care of. Here.
As far as, you know, looking at the marketing and how we make decisions, there's going to be a lot of things changing, I think, as what maybe even, you know, not drastic, but changes in our practices, and that's going to lead to a few purchases of equipment. And I guess to answer your question about young people wanting my input, there's two main ways that I'll get information: internet and magazines, mm-hmm. and usually internet first. And and the two really get tied together. And you know, it's important to have the media there too, because that's the first and easiest outlet to get information.
Yeah. Well, thank you both very much. I need to let you go here, but we've been visiting Canada.